Please take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to spend a little bit of time on Matthew chapter 6, and then we're going to move on into Matthew chapter 7. There's three causes that we can see, well, maybe there's more than that, in this the end of Matthew chapter 6 for worry. One can be really a wrong understanding of the relationship that we have with God, and really a wrong understanding of God's care and concern for our lives. It says in verse number 26, at the end of verse number 26, says, "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Another reason for worry in our lives, in the end of verse 30, it says, "Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" One of the causes for worry in our lives can be a lack of faith. Another cause we see in verse number 33 is wrong priorities. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Wrong priorities. Do you have that continually seeking in your life for the kingdom of God? To seek implies being absorbed in the search for, a persevering and strenuous effort to obtain. Does the kingdom of God, does his righteousness have first place in your life? Joshua said of his household, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Every decision that you come to in your life, is it "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Maybe it's a job situation. The choice of a job. Maybe it's the choice of a job for one of your children. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, you do not need to compromise your principles in order for you to be financially provided for. You never have to compromise your godly principles that you live by in order to have your financial needs taken care of. But yet many people maybe take a job that would cause them to miss church. Maybe they put their young person in an atmosphere that's going to tear them down spiritually because, I mean, they gotta go to college and they have to have that money to go to college. And instead of simply putting God first and allow him to take care of the details, they take matters into their own hands. And they have wrong priorities. You know, if we're going to have the right priorities, Proverbs chapter 2 gives us how that's going to work out in our devotional life. It talks about searching as for hid treasures. There's this pursuing after God. Your heart, your ear is inclined. You know, and as we think of having the right priorities, it's going to come out in our lives. It's going to come out in our devotional life. How do we read the Word of God? It's going to come out in our decision-making process. Am I going to compromise my principles because I feel like it's the only way that this need is going to be met in my life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Verse 34 talks about, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." I liked what one person said, I think I might have said this the last time, but God has not given us strength today for tomorrow's difficulties. God has not given us strength today for tomorrow's difficulties. God gives us the strength that we need today for the issues that we're going to face. You know, in Lamentations chapter 3, in verses 22 and 23, some of probably the most familiar verses in the book of Lamentations, The Word of God says it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And you may wonder, how in the world am I going to get through that circumstance that I'm going to be facing tomorrow? Well, guess what? God's mercies are new every morning. And He has the mercy, He has the grace that you need to make it through every difficulty that you are going to face. You know, there's enough things going on today without having to worry about what we are going to face tomorrow. You know, we serve a God that's sovereign. We serve a God that's in control. We serve a God that cares for us. We serve a God that knows every issue and problem that we're going to be facing. And He has just the right amount of grace and mercy that we need to make it through. Psalm 84 in verse 11 says that no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. It was two Wednesday nights ago that I preached about worry, and then I went out afterwards to my car, and I think it was a rather cold night that night. You know, my car would not turn over, and it's sitting out there, and I'm sure you've had it happen. And then, you know, I mean, the lights would come on. They seemed pretty bright, but turn the key on and nothing. And it's like, oh boy, what's happening? And, you know, we don't know what we're going to face. I mean, that's maybe somewhat of a minor issue, a car issue, but sometimes car issues can become quite the headache sometimes. And, you know, in a sense, God has put me through a little test there of how I was going to respond to my car, you know, not working. You know, I went out there the next morning and still the same thing, nothing. And then, you know, I went out there that afternoon around 1 or 2 o'clock and fired right up. Well, maybe not right up, but it started, and it's been starting since. So I'm not sure exactly what the problem was, but, you know, sometimes we face these issues, and, you know, if you're anything like I can be, sometimes you imagine the worst possible situation that's going to come from the circumstance that you're facing. You know, God wants us just to simply trust Him. He's going to provide. We need to put Him first place. We need to recognize, you know, if He takes care of the lily of the field, of the grass, you know, the grass that they would gather and burn in ovens, how much more is He going to take concern for us? You know, many times we go throughout life not realizing how much God loves us and is concerned for us. We don't need to worry. We need to put our faith and trust completely in Him. I'd like us to change gears a little bit, and as we move into chapter 7, verse number 1, it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Judge not that ye be not judged." You know, how many have ever heard that? How many have ever had that verse quoted to them before? Anybody? Judge not. Yeah, I remember, I think it was at a funeral for Joe Kineski. And a man came up to me, and I'm not sure what I said or for sure what, but I think he quoted Matthew 7, 1 and 2 to me. And, you know, people, there's certain people that really like these verses. Judge not that ye be not judged. First of all, I'd like to look at what does this not mean? What do maybe some people assume that it means sometimes, but we just need to be careful that we understand that this is what it does not mean. And maybe you want to assume these things, but maybe it's good just to look at it. Well, if we go to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 and 24. You know, maybe there's young people out there tonight. Maybe you're in trouble for something that you did that was wrong. And you want to thank your parents. Well, don't judge me. Well, Proverbs 6, verse 23 and 24 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman." You know, your parents are going to give you reproofs, young people. They are going to instruct you in the way of righteousness. And this is not what Christ is saying when he says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." God wants you, your parents, to reprove you, to tell you when you are going in the wrong pathway. And don't think, well, they're always judging me. You know, why don't they look at themselves? Well, it's important that we judge ourselves. But the Bible puts upon them the responsibility to give you the reproofs that you need to guard you from the strange woman. In Proverbs chapter 5, if they don't do it, if you don't listen to what they're saying, this may be your response. This will be your response someday. It says, "And thou mourn at the last," 5:11, "when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teacher, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." So you're mourning, why didn't I listen to the reproofs that were given to me? So when Christ says, "Judge not that ye be not judged," he's not referring to the responsibility of parents to reprove their children. In Proverbs 1 and verse 25, wisdom is crying out and says, let's begin in verse 24, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof." It says in verse 30, "They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Christ is not speaking of reproof. Reproof of instruction is the way of life. You know, in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, it says that the rod and reproof give wisdom. Proverbs 29:15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." You know, reproof and the rod here are important. It says it gives wisdom. Obviously, it needs to be done in the correct manner. It says, "But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." So tonight, it's not referring to the reproof that needs to be given to aim people in the right direction to protect them from a life of misery because of sin. We also, it is interesting as we look at what this means, "Judge not that ye be not judged." If you think about the Pharisees, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Who did the Pharisees judge? Well, it's interesting that the Pharisees judged the Lord Jesus Christ in the wrong way. All right, if we go to John chapter 7 and verse number 24. And we'll back up a little bit. Let's begin in verse number 21. Let's begin in verse 20. "The people answered and said, Thou wast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said to them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Then Christ says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. All right, so here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Son of God, who is the sinless, spotless, holy Son of God, has never done one wrong thing. But yet, what do the Pharisees, what do the people of the day find in Christ? They found wrong in him. And Christ says, judge righteous judgment. They were wrongly judging what Christ was doing. And you know, we have to be very careful, because if they could find, so to speak, something wrong with Christ, we have to be very careful that we do not find wrong in the people that are over us, that are in authority over us, that are seeking to aim us in the right direction, in missing the great faults that we have, because they are correcting us and we don't want to receive their correction. You know, they were able to think about that. They were able to find fault in Christ. They weren't, obviously. They were judging him wrongly. There was nothing. He was a perfect Son of God. What I'm just trying to get us to see is that Christ condemns this kind of judgment. Why? Because it was wrong. It was false. And what I'm trying to get young people for you to see tonight, or adults to see tonight, is that the devil is always going to in some way enable you to find something wrong with the authorities in your life. And you have to understand that that is wrong judgment on your part. And you know, here are the people. They found something wrong with Christ. And obviously, how much more? You know, here's somebody that was perfect. You can't find anything wrong with Christ, but yet they found something. And we have to watch out for that. So Christ says, judge righteous judgment. So what kind of judgment is Christ speaking of? He says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. I think one thing we need to see here is that we need to remember who is in charge. We need to remember who is in charge. We need to realize that we will reap what we sow. You know, many times we have a standard of judgment for others that we are not willing to make the same standard for ourselves. We see all these wrong things in other people, but yet we are not willing to put ourselves up to the same standard of judgment. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophet comes to David and says, you know, David, here's this man, this rich man that had this lamb. Or he had all sorts of sheep, and there was a poor man that had this one lamb that was their prized possession. You know, it slept with the family. It was their, you know, it is their pride and joy. And, you know, a visitor comes along, and the rich man comes and takes that lamb away from the poor family, the only lamb that they had, and kills it. And what did David say? That man should be what? Killed. And you know what? David right there made a judgment, and God said, you are the man. You know, many times we're very quick to pass judgment on the wrongs of others, but very easily pass the wrong things that we have done ourselves. You know, here is this sin, obviously was wrong what this rich man did. But you start comparing it to David's sin. And this huge mote, this huge beam that he had coming out of his own eye. And yet, He was so quick to pronounce judgment on someone else. Judge not that ye be not judged. You know, you're going to put others up to this certain standard. You know, young person, maybe you're holding your teachers up to this certain standard. And if you feel like there's one little injustice, or young person, there's maybe your parents, and you feel like there's one little small injustice that they've done, and yet you have this whole boatload of things that you've done, and yet you're going to eye that one little thing and you're going to get bitter at your parents, or you're going to get bitter at your friend, or you're going to get bitter at this other person. And you know what? You have to realize you're not the one in charge. God is. And it says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." You know, Galatians says, "You'll reap what you sow." You know, things have a way of coming back to us. How are you going to treat others? You know what God sees? He sees that harshness, that, you know, just that holding on to every little thing that someone does to you. Remember to consider yourself before looking at others. It says in verse number 4, "How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out..." Verse number 3. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" You know, here we're seeing the faults of others. We're seeing all their problems. You know, and it's what? What does the Bible say it is? It's a speck. You know, it's something small. But yet we what? We see it, don't we? That speck is there. But yet what do we miss? We miss the big beam coming out of our own eyes. You know, here we see, I mean, it's just a fake beam up here, but, you know, imagine that. There's this big beam coming out. And it would look foolish, wouldn't it? You know, imagine you went to the eye doctor and you got a little problem with your eye, you know, and you just couldn't get that little piece of dirt out. And you come in and, you know, your doctor is, maybe he ran into something he got knocked around, or maybe he was, deer hunting and the deer ran into him. And, he's got big problems and he's just black and blue and his eyes are barely can open up and you're going to go to him to have him take that speck out. You're going to think, "Oh, this is crazy. What am I here for?" But yet that's what we do many times. We think we can see, and you know what? If we're going to be able to clearly deal with the issues that are facing, we must get rid of the beam that is in our own eye. You know, the fact is as parents, if we're going to deal with our children properly, we need to make sure that those beams are out of our eyes. Otherwise, we're going to have a hard time seeing clearly even the problems that are in our own family. Remember to dealing with yourself is the key to properly dealing with others. Christ says in verse 4, "How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." And one more thing we need to close here. But verse number 6, you know, if somebody says, "Well, judge not that you be not judged." Well, verse number 6, what does Christ say? He says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine." Obviously, you have to judge because you got to know who the dogs are and you have to know who the swine are. And so there is judging here that is in the passage, but what is Christ seeking to help us to see? That we so easily can point out and pick out the faults of others and bypass everything that is wrong with ourselves. You know, God wants us to have that humility that will take correction, that will see the issues that we have, and not be like the Pharisee who paraded himself and said, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that, you know, this extortioner. We could turn there in the passage in Luke chapter 18, I believe it is. Luke chapter 18. And he's parading around himself that, that's not my problem. Lord, look at all this guy's problems. I'm so glad how good I am. And what was he missing out? The great pride and self-righteous attitude that he had that really flew in the face of God. You know, do we have that humility tonight? Or do we stand back? I'm pretty good. Or is it, young person, you're just resisting that correction because you're finding faults. You're picking out all those minuscule things and you're missing the big issue that God is trying to speak to your heart about. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to have, Lord, the right vision of ourselves tonight. Lord, it's so easy to see the problems of others, but yet to miss the very things that are in our own lives. Lord, I pray tonight for young people. Lord, that you would help them not to harden their hearts to reproof, but Lord, that they would realize that they need to stop picking out those little things that they see wrong with those that may be correcting them. Lord, realizing that self-righteousness will find fault in anyone. Lord, may we have the humility to take correction. Lord, may we have the Christ-likeness, Lord, that would not lift others to a higher standard than we would be willing to put ourselves at. And Lord, we pray even that you would help us to daily trust you and not be overcome by worry, but Lord, to simply put you first in our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.